It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Lots of great reasons to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. They have great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay and discover the most popular SGPs each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, so they know we sent you. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones at the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, June 2nd. We're recording on the morning of the first game of the NBA Finals, Warriors Celtics. We're very excited. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, the Jethro Jenkins, aka John.
What's up, Bubbas? And I'm sorry about my audio. I forgot my shit. I want to just get out there and apologize up front. I'm not going to sound as good as my
brother.
We'll
discuss it. It's at the top of my topic list. And Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler, aka Diego, aka the dentist.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
I need the backstory on that.
AKA Mike, Tyler's been trolling a. I don't think you posted this for content on Twitter yet, right? Tyler's been trolling a spam text.
I might post it if it gets a little juicier. You know, I gave you guys the behind the scenes footage.
Geraldo, aren't you?
Yeah,
oh, it was Geraldo. What'd I say, Diego?
Yeah. I was Diego in Spanish class for whatever reason, but anyway.
You weren't Juan? You were Diego?
No, they call me Diego. That makes no fucking sense, bro. I'm still trying to figure out. That was 10th grade, dog.
Raul.
I took Japanese. I took 4 years of Japanese in high school. So I was.
God.
Yeah. In there with Char, you know what I mean? In there with Char, just, you know, learning about Japanese and shit. I remember everything too. No knowledge gets ejected from the brain faster than high school language classes, bro. Did anyone ever learn a language from taking a language class in high school? Like, do you know anyone that's fluent in a language they took in high school?
I took like 2 years of Spanish in middle school, 3 years in high school. I can't tell you shit.
Bro.
Bro. You were walking around Southern California like a taco rack.
A quesadilla?
Yeah, just so everyone knows the level of professionalism we're bringing to our big NBA Finals Game 1 pod, I am running off about 4 hours of sleep, and John completely forgot his recording equipment before going to New York, so.
No, I have the equipment, I just forgot the connector. I have this shit, I just forgot the connector.
That's worse.
Yeah, I packed all that heavy, that shit in my backpack, all this junk, you feel me? Didn't bring what actually mattered. Bullshit.
There's some sort of life lesson there. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out by the end of the podcast. All right. Let's talk about the finals. NBA finals.
Pump up the volume.
Pump up the volume. Sports Network podcasts. Draymond Green. Jenkins and Jones. Gambling. Basketball.
Baseball gambling.
Dinger Tuesdays.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Over under Mike Trout's on base percentage for the season. What the fuck is wrong with us, man?
All right. First of all, some late breaking news. Jeff Van Gundy out with COVID. I'm going to be honest, the least surprising COVID positive ever, correct? For anyone who heard him in game 7?
He has a face that was like made to catch COVID. Like,
what?
Like, who was surprised at it? Like, he just looked like someone who would have COVID, does he not? Because for me, you know, you remember the movie Ghost? And you remember the, yes, the get off my train ghost?
Yeah.
That's Jeff Van Gundy, basically. They got the same thing. I can't not see that dude whenever I look at Jeff Van Gundy. So yeah, man. Best of wishes to Jeff, man. I'll pull through. We're going to miss you.
During the broadcast, I said it, I think last podcast, I was bro, is everybody like ignoring the fact that this man sounds unwell? To a degree that would remind you of the, you know, what's causing the fucking pandemic. You feel me? Like, it was shocking that he was even on the game 7. But yeah, hope he's Gucci.
You know, I'm gonna be honest with you. A storyline I don't feel like people are talking about in the country enough is that like basically everyone has caught COVID over the last month. I know so many people who had not previously caught it at all during the pandemic who got it in the last month. But I just feel like everyone's just like, oh, well, you know, we can't do this for another summer. It's just like, I wouldn't be surprised if that pops up during the finals, to be completely honest with you. I don't know if Adam Silver's got the David Stern nuts to just be like, no, you don't have COVID.
Bro, yeah, not during the finals.
I pray not during the finals. We don't need
Please.
That. But there were the homie was talking about how, like, they're saying the people that haven't caught COVID yet, like, research them. Because like there's somebody saying like suggesting to research these people because we might have the, but I'm like, nah, nigga, I just wear a mask, bro. I'd be wearing a mask every fucking week.
I got a lot of friends who just wear masks, but who in the function of continuing the way they were living 6 months ago, you know what I mean? It just, I don't know, man. I don't know. But keep wearing the mask for sure.
Like if they want to say, I'd be like, bro, I don't like people. I wear a mask. I leave my house like 4 times a week. You know, that's how I make COVID free.
For real, so
a lack of human contact will be helpful, which is definitely not what Jeff Van Gundy had going on. So it looks like it might be Mark Jones or Mark Jackson, which I do not feel like is the A team of basketball calls. Mike Breen may be back. They haven't yet announced that. Fingers crossed, Mike Breen is back. I feel like we need Breen, and yeah. I feel like if Jeff Van Gundy is not there to pair with Mark Jackson, I would rather ESPN move Doris Burke over from the radio because she's there doing radio. And I think she's better, like solo color analyst, she's better than Mark Jackson for sure.
Now, is that even a question?
Yeah.
Doris Burke's a fucking god to me. Yeah. You know what I mean? The way she breaks down the game. I love it. It's beautiful.
All right. Let's talk about the series. What do you think is going to happen tonight? And what do you think is going to happen in the series? And I want to pick. I want a team and number of games. John.
Oh, you want to throw me out there?
Jeez. John.
You ask Tyler first every time. Let's continue that. Tyler, you go first, bro.
I think Golden State wins tonight. I think it's probably gonna be, you know, savvy veteran. We've been here. This is our sixth rodeo type, you know, game where they just run laps around Boston. I think they're gonna win pretty handily. I'd say probably by about 8 to 10. And for the series, I don't know. Like, I really think Boston's going to give him a lot of trouble, man. I really think Boston's going to give him a lot of trouble. I don't know if I'm steering towards saying that Boston is going to bounce them. But I guess I'll just go to safe. Golden State in six.
I don't give a fuck about being safe or wrong, obviously. I've been right this entire playoffs. Maybe like 3 or 4 times. But I feel like this. I feel like I've been going to the series, I'm like, you know, Warriors are a better team. And I think they may be. I think they're definitely more, you know, they have more experience. And I think that'll come into play at least in game one. Okay. I think they're going to win game one. But I had 6 hours on a flight yesterday to think about this, to talk yourself into it.
100%.
And I think I've achieved that. I think their defense and how physical the Celtics are, I think that can bother the Warriors. They're bigger guards. They're longer. They're stronger. I don't care how that sounds. It's all facts. You know what I'm saying? And they have
like the receiver talking about Matt Ryan. He said Matt Ryan can put it wherever he wants. He paused himself. He said, well, odd choice of words, but y'all know what I meant.
Right. That's exactly how I feel right now. But I think they have a serious chance of pulling off the upset. And then you look at the odd people, the odds are like ridiculous towards the Celtics, apparently. Did you see those graphics these past couple of days? It seems bullshit, you know what I mean? I mean, I think people that watch the games actually think the Warriors win, but I think the Celtics have a chance. I'm going to just say Tatum leaves with a chip. I'm going to say the Warriors win because I've been wrong so much that I'll...
Oh, you're going to overthink it like that?
I don't want to jinx it.
I'm going to roll with Tyler. I had down Warriors in six. I think the one thing I would just say I haven't really seen in a lot of conversations is everyone's talking about, you know, the great Warriors offense versus Celtics, you know, great defense. But the Warriors had the number 3 scoring defense in the league this season. The Warriors are a smart defensive team that knows it's what we talked about all playoffs. They know, everyone knows their role. Everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing. And with the pieces that they're getting back for the finals, I just don't think – like, I think the Celtics are going to struggle to score. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that they're diverse enough offensively to score against the Warriors, to be honest with you. Like, you know they're going to sell out on not letting Tatum go crazy. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know that I believe that Jaylen Brown and a rotating group of whoever steps up, Al Horford, Grant, I just don't know that I think that's going to be enough to beat the Warriors, to score enough points to beat the Warriors. That's the way that I see the matchup going. But I do think it's going to be a series like so many that just comes down to how it's officiated. If they let them beat up the Warriors on the perimeter, it'll be a real series. And if they are loosey-goosey, you know, with that whistle, it might not be a great series.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to be doing the scoring for the Warriors, though? Outside, you know, Steph is known to have stinkers. Klay is not Klay. You know what I'm saying? Poole, first time here. Wiggins, first time here. You know, so the same things you're questioning for the Celtics. This is what I was telling myself, you know, lying to myself about, maybe. On the flight was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? So the only person that's been here are Klay is not Klay. Draymond doesn't score like he did in 2015, 2016. You know what I mean? And Steph, like we said, has a few stinkers here and there, and he has a lot of pressure on him right now. You know, he's probably putting a lot of pressure on himself. Hasn't looked the best second half of the season, and the Celtics been trending the opposite way. You feel me? So, and they've gone through some gauntlets. You got great team defense. Yes, I agree. You know what I mean? But Tatum's a fucking dog. It didn't work against a great team defensive team like the Bucks. And they had some guys to put on them too. You know what I mean? It didn't work against the fucking, I mean, the Nets don't play no defense, but it didn't work against the Warriors. You feel, I mean, what against the Heat, who have great defense too, and had a guy to put on his ass. So I'm like, bro, I don't know, man. It's not going to be as easy, I think, I initially thought it was. And I can see them squeaking out some games. And I can see certain people have, you know, nutting up on the Warriors that they may need to get buckets.
Tyler, what do you think? Where do you think the scoring is coming from for the Warriors?
I think Jordan Poole is too full of himself to have, new guy jitters here. I don't think that's going to be a problem with him. I think that dude is irrationally confident, which is perhaps his greatest strength. I say that as a compliment. Yeah. The thing about the Warriors, like you were saying, Mike, about how, people are sticking on them as a great defensive team. Like they're the second, they're the second best defensive rating in the NBA behind the Celtics. Like they can fucking lock up too. But I think something that contributes to the Warriors defense is that they score in such spurts that teams get desperate and start taking terrible shots, right?
You have to be real disciplined and patient to kind of weather that storm.
So, the Warriors have the second best defensive rating in the league behind the Celtics. You know, the Warriors are a team that can lock up too. And I think a big part of what makes them a great defensive team is their offense, how they score in spurts. You know what I mean? Like, they hit you with a 16-2 run and then teams, they deviate from the script. They stop playing disciplined ball. They start taking bad shots. So that for sure helps them on the defensive end too, that, they're forcing teams into bad shots by how, explosive their offense is. I think that Klay's going to be solid. I do not expect to see 2016 Klay these finals. I think he'll be solid. I think Steph is going to be Steph. I think he's going to be otherworldly. But, like I said, you can probably pencil in a stinker or two from him these finals. I think they'll be fine on the offensive end. I think that, on the defensive end, they'll prosper too. So, that's why I said, I think the Celtics are going to put up a good fight. I just don't see them stealing it.
I mean, the Celtics have worked on, they've come back from some pretty big deficits. You know what I mean? And as just as we say, they're very, Tyler, you called him stupid at times. You know what I mean?
He's like, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yes, I did. But I think, they're very young and inexperienced in certain ways, and they lack discipline in moments, but they found ways to come back. So, I mean, yes, if you get down 16 to the Warriors, you try to get it back in one shot every time coming down, yes, you're digging yourself into a hole. But I think hopefully they've learned from these experiences, these last three series, use those experiences if they get down a little bit. But I mean, the point is what I was making is Jordan Poole should be fine. Wiggins should be fine. Steph should be himself. But I think we can question them just as much as we can question some of the dudes on the Celtics.
I think that's fair. It's you get into the finals and it's easy to just sort of go with the name matchup, right? Like obviously we've seen Steph and Klay and Draymond succeed in the finals, and that's not necessarily the way it plays out. I do think you put Steph and Klay in, and this has been true of most of the series, you're going to win two games just straight off of them having they have a good night on the same night, the game's over, right? And I think that's part of what's been going on with the playoffs this year is everyone is shooting three-pointers so much more that if a team is on, the game's over at fucking halftime, right? Like they're up by 20. And I feel more likely that happens for the Warriors. Like I think the Celtics want to win a game 93-85 in their heart. And I just don't think that's going to happen against the Warriors. But you make a fair point. It's not like Andrew Wiggins is just the centerpiece of finals experience and veteran savvy going up against a really, really smart defensive team. But the names are too much for me, bro. I just think Steph and Klay it's the finals is different. It is different than the other series. And they've had a week to get their minds right, rest up. I think the series will come down to the Celtics are so good at taking the ball out of the guy you want to shoot's hands. And we've seen it. Chuck has been making fun of him about it on TNT. Like, I think a lot of it's going to come down to Draymond floaters, mid-range. Like, they want you to shoot, and they're going to probably give you a lot of easy opportunities. If he's ready to go in and score 16 points off some, I'm 10 feet from the basket by myself, then, that's going to force the Celtics into a counterpunch situation. But if he's kind of like, no, I'm just looking to pass. I want my guys to get off. I don't know. It could be interesting because they're definitely building the defense around keeping the perimeter, messed up congested and everything, and that's going to leave a lot of space. So,
attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA Finals are here, and so is your chance to score big on FanDuel Sportsbook. Throughout the NBA Finals, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Bet the money line, point spreads, player props, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. Game one, I definitely like the Warriors at home with all that experience. You can build a same game parlay around the usual player props and money line spread stuff. Which player will hit the most three-pointers? I would probably be really boring there and go with Steph Curry. I just think he has too much on the line in this series. I think he's coming out in kill mode every game, and I think maybe he avoids his usual trend of having a game or two of stinkers in a series. Just sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot, because the only thing sweeter than watching the finals is cashing in on all the action. Join today with promo code JANJ and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose. Make every game feel like Game 7 with FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. First online real money wager of at least $5. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG.
I think Draymond's the QB on both ends of the court. But, you know what I'm saying? If we're looking for him to score – you know,
I think
what I mean?
That's what I'm just saying. I think that's what the Celtics want. Celtics are going to come out.
You know what I mean? If we're looking for Draymond to score, I mean, we've seen it in the past, but we haven't seen that Draymond in a long time. So I don't know.
All right. Jackson, can you please come on the podcast? We're introducing a new segment called Roast a Celtics Fan.
Oh, good.
Oh, great. This is exactly what I was
saying. Yeah.
He said, oh, good.
Great way to start the morning off.
Perfect.
Yeah. We have, as one of our producers on Jenkins and Jones, one of the few human beings willing to identify themselves as a Boston Celtics fan in a public space. So, Jackson, we just want to take your temperature. How nervous are you? How not looking forward to watching your favorite team in the finals are you?
I don't know. It's really hard to like wrap my mind around it because both teams very recently in the playoffs have looked like the best team in the NBA and also looked like, why are they even in the playoffs? Like the Warriors very recently with all of their players healthy and playing in the game. While we're down by 50 something to the Grizzlies in a game they could have closed out the series, I believe. So like, it's not like they're like always the best team in the NBA. I think more often than not they are, but like, it's not like every game automatically they're the best team in the NBA. And the Celtics simultaneously won a game 7 on the road against Miami, won a game 6 on the road in Milwaukee, but lost home games, important ones right before those. So like,
right.
It's not, and like some Jason Tatum had 40 something. He almost had 50 against the Nets. And then he got like shut down for a game and a half by Wes Matthews. Like, I don't know. Both teams and the best players on both teams both look like gods at times. And also like they can be shut down like by like getting breathed on too hard. So like, I don't know. It's hard for me to really peg.
Who have the Warriors beat though too? You know what I mean? They've beaten teams that they should have easily beaten.
For sure.
You know, what we've seen, the Celtics may take some, they've taken some, you know, two game sevens, they play some physical teams, been beat up a lot.
They've overcome some injury luck or injury bad luck, but they've had injury luck to get here as well.
Both teams have had a slightly luckier route to the, like the Celtics playing the Nets without Kyrie and the Bucks without Milton, not denying
not to be an old fucking 80-year-old white basketball coach, but my answer to like who did they beat is they both beat everyone they played, right? Like
I know, but Milton wasn't even, I mean, I'd say the teams, regardless of the injuries that were there, were better than the teams that the Warriors played, you know what I'm saying, that were healthy. And also the Warriors beat the Grizzlies. Ja was hurt. You feel me? You know, they got lucky with that as well. And then the Mavs, come on, G.
Yeah.
That's, you know, yeah. They might not, they're not as good as the Bucks, that Bucks team or that Heat team.
But to Tyler's point he's made about this Warriors team, their greatest strength is that they're veterans and they know what they're doing, right? The fact that they had an easy road, I don't think that's a disadvantage. I think the week off they got, I think, is a huge advantage to them. I don't think it matters that they didn't beat, you know, a great team or whatever.
I think it makes them look better than maybe they are. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe they look better because of the teams they play. You know what I mean?
You can make the case, you know, they went up against a gutted Denver. They went up against a young and dumb Grizzly squad who lost.
Without Ja.
And, you know, they went up against a Mavs squad that needs to figure that roster out because this ain't it. But to their credit, they made light work of that whole fucking bracket. They went 12-4. You know what I mean? They didn't break a sweat at all. You know, so you know, like Mike said, you can only play who's in front of you. So I'm not really holding that against them. We've seen what this team can do. You know, we've seen how this is the dynasty of this era. So yeah, I'm not really holding that path that they went through against them.
The thing that I'm excited for, I saw this pointed out on Twitter. I'm not the originator of this take, but the Celtics defense,
Giannis looks like a street shirt.
Is amazing. No, that they've played amazing individual offensive players, Kevin Durant, Giannis, Jimmy Butler. But from a scheme perspective, all of those teams pretty simple. You know what they're going to try to do pretty much every time is get the ball to those players and let them create, whether for themselves or for others. The Warriors are the most dynamic offensive machine we've maybe ever seen. Like the Spurs are maybe the only other team that have like this level of chaos, like controlled chaos happening on the offensive end. So it'll be interesting to see Ime as a first year coach, by all accounts, an amazing one, but a first year defensive coach who's a defensive expert going up against this Steve Kerr tornado that he's created on offense.
Yeah, I mean, I just think
it's gonna
test their offensive resolve, the Celtics, because defensively, I don't care how good you are, it's just a different level of effort. I mean, the Warriors average like 3+ screens per possession or something. And it's just a completely different to try and keep up with what they're doing offensively, then go down on the other side. And like Tyler said, like you probably have to score 3 to match what they just did. And the Celtics don't off. I mean, for long stretches of almost every game I've seen, you're just going like, what are they running right now?
For sure.
Who are they trying to get the ball to?
And even if you don't talk about turnovers, which they've had a big turnover issue. Draymond actually talked about this. On the Celtics, Draymond talked about this about the Warriors on the Draymond Green Show about how the Warriors at times have had what they call shot turnovers, which are not turnovers, but they just take these bad shots, which leave the transition opportunities for the other team. And the Celtics, if they do that against the Warriors, they're screwed. Cause you're right. They need to, like, their defense is amazing. I think Ime is going to be able to at least make it difficult for the Warriors, or more difficult. But if you turn the ball over or a shot turnover against the Warriors, you're screwed.
If they have one of those, I think
Marcus Smart might lead the league in that shit, man.
Yeah.
Them deep threes, like, damn, Marcus, we don't need 9 threes from Marcus Smart, okay? Not on this team, all right? Jesus Christ. So that may hurt him a little bit. But I don't know, man. I think it'll be a fun series. I don't think it's as much of a given as we once thought.
All right. You've talked yourself into it. I respect that.
I don't know if I've necessarily talked myself into it, but I found holes in my logic saying the Warriors will win. So I'm battling myself in my brain right now.
It's like a Professor X 1990s right. X-Men cartoon fight in your head right now. You're putting up obstacles and knocking them down with your mind.
But a quarter of the fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about hot dog paste. Did y'all see
hot dog paste?
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. You're my favorite. One of my favorite people on the planet. Appreciate you.
Did you guys see the overturned truck with the hot dog paste that spilled everywhere? Tyler, did you see that?
I did not see that. Where was it at?
I don't even know where it was, but it was like a truck that was carrying, I believe they referred to it as hot dog filling. It overturned, and it looked like, you know, like the pink foam insulation that they spray.
Like chewed bubble gum. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like when you chew it to the paste, you know what I mean? That's what it fucking looked like. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Gallons and gallons and gallons of that.
It was one of the grossest things I've ever seen. And the question I wanted to ask, and I guess I already know Tyler's answer, is did seeing that image affect the number of grilled hot dogs you will eat this summer?
I haven't seen it, but I know it absolutely will not. I know I'm eating garbage. I know I'm eating garbage when I eat a hot dog. So I don't give a fuck. Hot dogs are fucking delicious. And that's another thing I don't get. Like, hot dog snobs. Like, have you seen hot dog snobs? Especially motherfuckers in Chicago. Like, they take hot dogs really seriously. And they're like, oh, you're putting ketchup on a hot dog. You know, turning your nose up at a motherfucker or putting ketchup on a hot dog. I'm like, bro, this is a tube of pig noses and pig assholes. And we're going to act snotty about this, right? We're going to be uppity about this. about eating a fucking cylinder of fucking pig knuckles, right? So no, there's nothing that you can show me that will ever steer me away from eating a hot dog. They're delicious, and I know that they're garbage.
One time in Westville, North Carolina, I had a sauce made out of pig ears, I think. Shit was fire. Everything on the pig is delicious. But I mean, I eat Polish, bro. I don't even eat a bunch of hot dogs, bro. Polish be slapping. And I bet that shit made out of the same type of fucking ooze that we saw on the side of the road, but that shit went crazy. So, I mean, will it make me eat less of them? No, bro. I mean, as long you burn that motherfucker a little bit, we cool. You know what I mean? I think that the high heat balances out the, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the fuck they put in there kills all the bullshit. So, we good.
It's like magic. When you put the meat paste on the grill, it turns into real meat. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it. But like you would, like, if you see the paste on the side of the road, obviously it looks disgusting. But if you encase it in the tubing and put it on a grill, it's like fine good dining eating. To me. Yeah, exactly.
That's good eating there, bro.
Fine.
That's
good. That's good.
The phrase hot dog snob is like one of the funniest three syllables you could put together.
Right? That makes no sense together. None. Right? Like, how did that happen?
You're right about Chicago though, bro. It's like, it's a, you know, it's brats only. You know what I mean?
If you're not gonna eat a fucking hot dog on a poppy seed bun with a fucking kosher dill pickle and a tomato, you do not take your hot dog seriously. Bro, shut the fuck up.
I don't take my hot dog seriously, but that's them Chicago hot dogs.
Yeah, I know they're good as fuck, but yeah.
That crazy is a motherfucker.
Did you guys see that someone rubbed cake, actual cake, on the Mona Lisa? Did you see this?
No. I like
yeah, the, I saw
the,
that.
The original one, like the Louvre or whatever the fuck.
At the Louvre, yeah.
The Louvre?
Yeah, yeah.
At the Louvre. Like Brett Favre.
Bro, yeah. Like I told you, that's how you know I just read. I don't hang around motherfuckers to talk about the Louvre.
Right. I'm like, a lot. Because that's,
yeah.
Tulum, because he read the motherfuckers.
That's right.
Yeah, talking about Tulum, you know, Tulum ass niggas, you feel me?
That's right.
Good for Tyler, too.
Correct. Yeah, for sure. I was about to say, yeah, that's living right.
You're living life right, you feel?
The hot dog snob is definitely gatekeeping the pronunciation of the Louvre.
The Louvre.
The Louvre.
I like Louvre better.
The Louvre.
The Lever 2000.
I'm going to go to Paris and get that going. I'm gonna change the whole
love.
Culture.
Good luck. No,
I'll walk around with a brat with some fucking with relish only on it, so I look real cultured. You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna go hang out at the Lever later.
How you got a silent R and a silent E? Like, what is even the point, bro? What the fuck? A silent R? How? I've never seen such in my fucking life.
R's great, don't man. Usually move in silence like that. Yeah. R the R is usually a very loud. Consonant for sure. Yeah, someone snuck into the Louvre dressed as an old lady. It was like just a regular white dude, I think. Well, a crazy one, but you know, the regular ish. He snuck a slice of birthday
regular
cake.
For a white dude.
Yeah.
For a white dude, that's pretty regular.
He snuck into the Louvre dressed as an old lady with like a birthday cake under his nightgown or something, and then he stood up and rubbed it on the Mona Lisa.
The security beat his ass.
The security looked like Scott Van Pelt, to be completely honest with you.
Security probably just there to answer questions, right? They're probably not trained for any conflict resolution.
They like ushered him away. And I had the exact same thought as you. I was like, should
Mon Dieu, sacré bleu.
The only French Tyler's heard is in cartoon.
Yeah, it's fucking Pepe Le Pew, right. And like fancy butlers and shit.
That's so fucking funny. There is also, I actually have, believe it or not, my last topic is a second Louvre topic, and I'm just gonna read you this headline from.
Wait, can we
NPR.
Just say the Mona Lisa is weak though? Can we say that before we move on? That shit is just like it's. I've never seen it. I didn't think it was that incredible. I wondered why everybody loves it, but everybody I've known that has seen it in person, so they were highly like, you know, unimpressed.
I think the thing that's interesting about paintings too, if you're really a museum ass person, which Shar and I were for a stretch of time, is that there are certain paintings that you've seen in textbooks like 1,000 times that when you see them in person, it's a completely different image.
Isn't the Mona Lisa little as hell too? Like,
yeah.
And isn't it popular?
Yeah. Nah, it ain't that small, but
it followed people, like the eyes follow people. That's what made it popular. Like, it wasn't that it was actually a extremely quality fucking painting.
She's making a different face. She's making a different face than people used to make in paintings at that time. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because it looks like she has a real expression. Because either people were like, they were trying to look like neutral face in all their paintings, and she has a like. The little smile, and people are like, oh, she actually looks like a person.
Oh. So that's what made it, you know.
I guess. I agree with you. It's weak as fuck. Not in my top 100 power rankings of paintings throughout human history.
Man, the homies back at the crib have done better work than that shit. I got a couple that I'll be like, they shit on the motherfucking Mona Lisa. What the fuck you mean? But
you said Da Vinci is the Bob Cousy of art history.
I had a homie that's not the best artist, and he's an artist, and people point out like, yo, Da Vinci pop, you know what I mean? So why can't I, you feel me?
Yeah,
so
that's it's a fair point. All right, here's my second Louvre topic. The former head of the Louvre faces charges linked to alleged antiquities smuggling. Police okay, in the okay. French capital charge Jean-Luc.
Start over. I didn't hear that. What was that?
The former president of the Louvre Museum has received preliminary charges for antiquities trafficking during his tenure as head of the famous Paris Museum. Police in the French capital charged Jean-Luc Martinez with complicity in organized fraud and money laundering. They said that two of his colleagues have also been arrested. But yes, they were making false certificates for Egyptian antiquities. And stealing shit from all over the place, which is wild because that's literally what the whole museum is.
Yeah.
Like, that's what every museum in Europe is. Like, if you go to the National Museum in London, like, you think the Greek people just like mailed all that shit to London willingly? I don't understand. Like, that's so funny to me that they arrested this dude for having a museum, basically.
Yeah. Like, so basically he was, you know, doing all that shit in favor of the museum. Like, it wasn't some personal side shit. It was, that's what museums are. It's fucking ransacking, you know, exploited ass shit. So,
right. Fuck? I don't know. They got him. Jean-Luc Martinez, rest in peace.
Jean-Luc. Sacre bleu, mon Dieu.
Sacre bleu, Jean.
Sacre bleu. All right, that's all the time we have for this episode of Jenkins and Jones. Enjoy game one of the finals. We will be back at some point. I think we have an episode coming on Monday. Is that right? We're gonna record on Sunday.
We have a
crossover episode that'll be out Monday morning when you normally get your pod. It'll be the crossover with the Out of Pocket guys. So check that out. Like I said, enjoy the games. We'll catch y'all soon.
Bye.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.